time now for News Talk WANI Sports, brought to you by Top Hat Chimney Sweeps. If you have a chimney, make sure it's inspected by the best. Top Hat Chimney Sweeps of Auburn. With 20 years of experience, they are the pros.
It is Water Report Wednesdays. Mike G, join me on the WANI hotline. Morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Ben. Doing great.
Man, it is, it's a wet and rainy day today, which the good news is that gets me out. I was in charge of cutting the grass this afternoon, so maybe I don't have to do that now. I love it. I got that conversation with my wife last night. She said, when are we cutting the grass? I said, well, only one person can do the push mower at one time, so I don't know what this we business is. I know who's going to be cutting the grass. I may have bought myself a day with this rain. We shall see. So, hey, let's talk.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what everybody, all the guys keep saying that around the office. Everybody's like, well, good for you. I'm sure my wife's not thinking that. Let's talk recruiting news. There's a couple of pickups and commits that took place yesterday, and apparently a speedster out of South Alabama in Baker High School, and then another one picked up last night, I think, according to what I saw on Twitter.
Yeah, Auburn picked up Bryce Kane, the speedster that you're referring to, that wide receiver fits kind of in the Hugh Freeze mold. Great kid, and they're real happy about that. They've got seven commits now for the 2024 class, and so you can see that Hugh Freeze is putting a high emphasis on, you know, getting in receivers. You know, Auburn has not done a great job producing high-profile receivers over the years. The second pickup was Kinsley Faustin. So Kinsley Faustin is a defensive back, four-star defensive back that will be joining this class as the seventh commit. So they're starting to build some momentum for that 2024 class, Ben. They've got to get going here with early signing day now. I can't stress enough. It's really tough to try to convince kids to come in, because so many of them are graduating early and getting in for spring ball at the schools that they commit to. So two big pickups for Hugh Freeze here, certainly.
You know, speaking of Hugh Freeze, and that's one thing that I put in the text to you, and I know that we've talked about it. You and I have kind of pumped it up a little bit, but I don't know that the national media and even the state media, even the state writers, the AL.coms and the, you know, the Birmingham News and the Mobile Press Register and all those guys, have we undersold what all Hugh Freeze is? People forget he still hadn't coached a game yet.
Right. You know, it's funny. So have we undersold it? I don't know. I think people are kind of all over the place on this one,
yeah.
Ben. You know, there is a crowd that doesn't want to be overly optimistic, right? And there's a crowd that's really excited about what he's doing. And most of the excitement is being generated on the recruiting trail. I know we just got through talking about recruiting. But ultimately, you got to have the horses in the SEC, and I think that Hugh Freeze understands that. Now, remember what he said at a press conference a few months ago. He said, if we're not in the top seven of recruiting in the country by year three, everybody here is going to be looking for a job. He understands this. He understands that if they don't get the guys in, you can't outdevelop Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. You have to go in. You have to get guys who can come in a little bit more SEC ready, that, you know, are coachable, but also are just pure athletes, man, and can go out there and play the game at a high level. So it starts there for Hugh Freeze. The proof of concept is going to come this year on the field, and that's what everybody needs to look out for. So have we oversold it? We don't know yet. I think after year one, you'll find out, because he has enough talent on his team to show progress in year one. Listen, this team won five games last year and missed a bowl game, right? So at the very least, they should make a bowl game if you're paying your coach $6 million. And then after that, right, you know, if he is the quarterback guru that he claims to be, the development of quarterback should be good for one to two more wins, if you ask me. So a 7 to 8-win season should not be off the table.
Also, have we finally woke up and realized, this is one thing I didn't put in the notes to you, how bad Harsin was when he was here. I mean, the fact that one Cadillac was able to turn around at the end of the year with the same people on the team. Now, a lot of that probably had to do with the team galvanizing and kind of, you know, picking each other up and some motivational tactics and that kind of thing. But with everything that Freeze has added, man, it's just amazing how bad it was under Harsin.
Yeah, I will say this, Ben. Harsin was not a good fit for Auburn in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And, certainly his attitude toward recruiting did not help his case here. There were obviously a lot of very high-profile people that were against his hire from the very beginning. You know, there was the scandal early on where, you know, I don't know, yes, depending on who you ask, you know, some things were kind of conjured up there. And, you know, his attitude toward the job, I think, was not what it needed to be for the SEC. I think that he's been used to doing, you know, all these coaches have egos, man, and they've been doing this for a long time. And you know, they think they have a formula that works. And you know, by the time they tried to pivot a few games into Harsin's second season, it was too late. Right. Yeah. And again, you can't out, I mean, he falls right into that category of you can't outdevelop the big dogs in this league, man. You know, I think there was some idea that they could do that with the guys that they had. And, you know, he did bring in some great players, man. He brought in Keontae Scott. He brought in Darquez Hunter. You know, for the most part, he inherited that first class, most of that class in year one, 2021, was Gus's class, right? And then in year two, you know, he brought in a whole class that was ranked top 20, but still, the effort wasn't really there on recruiting. And like I said, you know, you make the wrong people mad. I mean, the whole thing was just a mess, you know. Both sides needed to move on. There was no way he was going to be successful here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I talked about it before when, you know, when it came down to trying to decide a coach, once Harsin was out, people went back and forth between Kiffin and between Freeze. Those are the two names you heard probably that dominated the headlines. And I thought it was absolutely hilarious the way Paul Feinbaum described it at one point as he was even one that advocated for Hugh Freeze, because he said, here's the difference between the two of them is, you know, it was tough for them to get Lane Kiffin over at Ole Miss to go light the Christmas tree. You know, if you ask Hugh Freeze to do it, not only will he do it downtown at downtown Auburn and light the tree, he'll ask, can he go into everybody's house and light the tree for them as well? So that has proven to be true as far as the recruiting. Because that's the thing is Kiffin, a year ago, called himself the Portal King, and he didn't do anything this year. Once he had a little competition fighting in the portal against him, he added a couple of guys, but for the most part, he was a non-factor at Ole Miss.
Yeah, they had a lot to replace in the last recruiting cycle, right? Like, I mean, it was, you know, they had a lot of portal pickups, but they had a lot of portal entries as well, too. So, you know, ultimately, again, proof of concepts, man. Yeah, you've got to put a product on the field that kids want to play in. And that's going to be Hugh Freeze's challenge the year one at Auburn. They just, you know what Kiffin had. You've got to create some excitement. You've got to show that you are not – you're going to know what to do when you go up against the better teams in this league, and you play in the SEC West, so you're going to play against the better teams in the league every year. I mean, I know that's going to change, looks like, when Oklahoma and Texas join the conference, but still, it's too tough, man. It's too tough to bring your B game and think you're going to finish in first place.
And, you know, right now, Auburn offseason workout, you got camps going on. What's the team doing right now? Because you see all the kids coming to campus, but coaches can't really be present in order to do things. But you do see guys working out with one another and being on the field and trying to do things. What kind of is going through the team's mind right now during the offseason workouts?
Well, this is the time for – this is the last chance. Been for guys to strengthen their bodies in a way you cannot during the season. So you get two periods to weightlift. You get the period between, you know, the bowl game and the start of spring practice to really get in the weight room and try to improve your body. And then you get the summer, right, to try to improve your body, get strong. They've got to go on a different maintenance plan during the season because you can't be out there busting it, like, you know, in the weight room in a certain – the way you are in the summer, right, during the fall. So they've got to get physically prepared for an SEC grind, and that's what they're focused on. The second part of it is just you're building camaraderie and chemistry with your teammates. Right now, the quarterbacks should be out there throwing with their wide receivers every day, every single day. You know, trying to develop that chemistry, trying to understand where guys need to be. Right, you know, I got a chance to meet Peyton Thorne this offseason. He looks and smells like a leader, man. He's a great, you know, I think he's going to be a really good addition for Auburn. And at the very least, he's going to push the other quarterbacks or whoever the other potential starter might be to raise his game as well, too. So, you know, seeing him interact with players, you know, being able to do some things, you know, from a leadership standpoint that Hugh Freeze has repeatedly talked about. He's repeatedly talked about what an SEC quarterback is to him. And that's something that these guys really need to listen and take a hold to and try to emulate that because, Ben, all these guys have talent.
Yeah.
All these guys have talent, right? And right now, during the summer, is the time to develop, right, and cultivate leadership. Establish yourself as a leader this summer. Establish yourself as somebody who other guys can look to when the chips are down on the field and say, guys, we got this, right? Because it's too hard. I mean, when you're in the fire, it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hear me out, Ben. When you're in the fire, it's too late. Hmm. You got to do it now, and the summer is the time to do it, especially for the guys who are coming in after spring.
Yeah, you mentioned summer. Let's talk about that because camp's going on right now, and with those two pulls and two commits that were announced yesterday, do we see any more for some of these kids that are at camps? I mean, you know, that's when a lot of times when kids are on – Rob Pate tells one of the best stories ever. That's what got him to sign at Auburn and whenever he played defense for Auburn back in the 90s, and that was he came to one of the camps, and when he outran T. Martin, who was also at the camp, all of a sudden some defensive back coaches started walking over to him and going, hey, what's your name and where are you from? And the next thing you know, he ends up getting a scholarship offer before he ever leaves.
Yeah, in short, yes. After we get off the phone, I am headed up to Auburn to watch camp. So it's funny that you say that. And take a look at some of these kids. They've got a kicking camp going on today. You know, some of the current players' parents have kids in those camps. So it's been going on. Listen, once you get a chance to walk into that performance center, it's impressive, right? It is a marvel of a construction. And, you know, this is part of the SEC, right, recruiting wars, the race, is that, you know, they're building these massively beautiful training centers now where athletes are coming in and they can envision themselves walking in there every single day to train after class, to go to study hall. That's got everything they need in there. Mm-hmm. I watched a pro day in there where all the NFL scouts came in. And, I mean, it's an impressive facility. It's a huge recruiting tool. And so when you have these camps, when you host these camps, you give these kids a chance to come in and take a look at it, right? They get a free tour of the facility, man, and you get a chance to show off what you've got. And you know, well, they're going to go to Alabama. They're going to see the same thing. Right, they're going to go to Georgia. They're going to see some stuff there, you know, for the back-to-back national champions. If you want to compete with them, you got to be able to have guys walk through the door for these camps and feel like they can envision themselves, you know, spending the next 4 years at Auburn University playing football.
Now let's focus our attention a little bit to basketball. Now that it seems like all the hay's in the barn as far as basketball is concerned. I mean, I think that's it for scholarship players. So the only way the team would grow is if you maybe had a walk-on that came in the fall and shocked somebody, which I don't think is going to happen. But because it seems like everything's full, so let's focus on a couple of things. Let's talk about and I want to do this the next few weeks that we visit today. Let's focus on the point guard position and expectations that Auburn fans can get out of Bruce Pearl's team this year whenever they hit the hardwood.
Aiden Holloway is coming in highly heralded.
Yeah.
So we're going to see what this kid, McDonald's All-American, they lost Wendell Green.
Yep.
And, you know, I think he, you know, maybe saw the writing on the wall because Coach Bruce Pearl said after the loss to Houston in Birmingham, I was sitting in the press room, he said that, you know, listen, I want these guys to be proud of what they accomplished, but I have high expectations. Mm. And I think that he understands that what they did last year was not good enough. The performance for some of the players wasn't good enough. Mm. And they've got to reload, and they've got to, you know, this is basketball now. This is college basketball now. Mm. You got to reload every single year. You know, this is the first year that Bruce Pearl will not be losing his best player to the draft in like the last like 4 years, I think.
Yeah.
Right? It's tough, man. And, you know, when your best player is walking out the door to the NBA, the first round of the NBA draft every year. And so he's got a chance to show some continuity here with Jalen Williams, Dan, and Aiden Holloway coming in. And then Janai Broome making the decision to come back.
Yeah.
Right? Huge, huge for this team. You know, you've got Dylan Cardwell still there. This is going to be a very, very interesting team, and they had to get better, you know, at point guard. They had to get better at the shooting guard. You still have Trey Donaldson there. You know, Zepp is gone. I just think at the point guard position now, because in today's game, point guards score. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a scoring point guard, if you don't have a point guard that's a scoring threat, it's going to be really difficult, I think, for you. Aiden Holloway is certainly that guy, so I'm looking forward to seeing what Bruce Pearl can do.
And if Trey Donaldson, if he starts the season the way he ended the season, Aiden Holloway may have he may be platooning at the point guard position because he put on a show there at the end, did Donaldson. So, Mike G, I'm running out of time. I got to get to Fox News and I got to get to the positive thought. How can they find you guys and hear what's going on with the War Report?
Check us out on YouTube. We've got some exciting content coming this summer. SEC Media Days is right around the corner, Ben. You don't want to miss the coverage. We're going to be bringing live from Nashville all week that week. That's the 17th through the 24th.
That would be very cool. We're sending two of our guys from our sister station, ESPN 106.7, Jacob Goins from On the Line and Dan Peck from The Drive. They'll be up there. So if you can't find their table and harass them a little bit, and just don't tell them who you are. Just go ahead and just give them the needle just a tad and make sure that they're doing their job, because I know you guys will be doing yours. So as always, good stuff, man. I greatly appreciate it, my man.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Have a great day.